Michael Phones.
Michael Phones.
Hi, I'm Michael Phones. I'm here to introduce you to microphones. Going fucking C mad.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
What episode is this?
275.
You are listening to episode 275 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring my croaky self, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And this episode is proof of this is why we can have nice things.
Oh, I thought you were going to pull your phone out then and start reading off puns, and I was going to get real mad. No. No, but this episode, we should really explain where we are at the moment.
Yeah,
we're recording this.
This was never going to be simple.
Oh, you fucking prick. Too ill for this. Listen to my voice. This isn't an effect.
This isn't your normally cheery self.
Yeah, listen to my voice. So, yes, we are currently at sea.
We are recording in the middle of the sea, funny enough.
We are in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on a cruise liner that is stopped dead. There is no land all around this boat.
No.
We cannot see land. And
water, wet water.
Yes. We came here literally straight from the last London show of the Blackout Tour.
Yeah. So basically, we had a whole different episode planned for today. We had a guest lined up. We even teased it on the last episode. But we've had such a wholesome, emotional, just incredible past week with the Blackout's first tour back in 9 years. I thought it would be stupid not to dive in to the last few days and everything that's going on and the emotions behind it, rather than have one of our other guests come on and us just talk for about the half an hour before you even get to it. I thought, you know, it get lost. We might as well have a dedicated conversation about this and about everything that's going on. So as Sean said, the moment that the Blackout finished the tour at the O2 Forum in London, we got a taxi to Gatwick.
Yep.
To then wait about 6 to 8 hours to get on the plane to Miami, which we are now on the Emo's Not Dead cruise. What a sentence, isn't it?
What a whirlwind. 10 days.
Yeah.
What an absolutely insane experience all of this has been. Yeah, we mentioned it at every show. So if you were at the shows, honestly, thank you so much for coming. It meant the absolute world to us. And we had the best time. Probably the best time we've had touring on stage, to be honest.
Wow.
Yeah, everyone was beaming every night.
Yeah.
Everyone loved it. In our band, I mean, it's not a brag, but saying that, everybody loved it. No,
yeah.
Saying that, the amount of comments and positivity we have received have been mind-blowing. Some of the biggest compliments are, this is the one blurry picture I managed to take because I was having so much fun, I forgot to take photos and videos. And
wow.
It's 2024.
Yeah.
Well, people, like, that's not expected in 2024.
No.
Like, I know our crowd is probably slightly older than the kids that love TikTok, but it was just amazing to see.
Yeah.
And the response, like, because we could see ticket sales, so we knew that the shows were doing considerably well. But doesn't mean the reaction's going to be great. Because, you know, again, we've all got older. We all put a little bit of weight on, right? Some of us have got older. Some of us haven't. Some of us got area somehow. But, yeah, so, you know, you'd expect people to be a bit calmer, a bit tamer.
Wrong.
Yeah, it was absolutely fucking nuts. People were going crazy.
Yeah, I got hit in the pit a couple of times, a couple of the shows. I think that's just people just saw me and gave me a smack. Not doesn't have to do with your set, but...
I was actually paying people on the doors, tenner a jab.
Fuck, you know.
Yeah, not vaccine.
This is why we wanted to do this episode as well, because I think there's a unique double experience from this last week, because I've been with you guys for most of these shows.
Yep.
Just kind of being a nuisance, hanging around backstage, promoting the podcast, giving away stickers and flyers and talking to people and getting our Patreon communities to do meetups, which are extremely wholesome, which we'll get into it in a little bit as well. But just managing to see like all your reactions on and off the stage beforehand, afterwards, and just everything full circle with it. But before we get into everything, again, just a shout out to Emo's Not Dead for having us on this cruise.
Thank you very much.
You'll be hearing a lot more from our activities on the boat in a couple of weeks, and when we eventually get access to social media, because being on the sea, we've realized phones don't like that.
Yeah, they don't like that. And it turns out you can't connect your Wi-Fi to... like a broadband input, because there's nothing but water around us. So,
But we've literally recorded episodes in the back of cars, in little storage rooms, in vacuum
cupboards. We did one in a cupboard with Justin from LS Heroes.
Yeah.
We were too close to each other that day. That was post-COVID.
It was, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Man of dear all around.
We would have been locked up in 2020. People would have seen us three in a cupboard.
And we were recording this in a very nice suite with a balcony and a view of the ocean and everything. So,
Times have changed. Hey! We're finally above the law.
As always, let us know you are listening to this conversation at Sappening Pod on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter. Put in your stories, we'll share it, just spread the love and share some of those memories that you've had from the last week as well. We want to hear it.
Oh,
and just a lovely shout out to our Patreon community at patreon.com/Sappening. I'll get into all this in a little bit, but they have just been the highlight for me. Just getting to meet them all, get photos of them all. And just hear their stories, and there's some incredible things we'll get into. But yeah, let's start. Sean, I mean, for you, you haven't had really a time to stop and reflect on these shows because we literally went from A to B so quickly. So yeah, everyone who listens to this knows for the last 5.5 years, every week to a deadline, you've been begging for the band to get back together.
Yeah.
You got to, I mean, last year you did 3 shows, but I suppose it's different vibe in it when it's Merthyr Download Festival and Merthyr, where you know people are going to be.
Yeah.
So what was it like actually being back on tour, seeing the ticket sales, seeing people in the flesh, and then seeing people have a good time and seeing the boys' reaction?
Yeah, it was unreal. Absolutely unreal. It was unreal. Yeah, we just never expected people to go as wild as they did. And Manchester was a fantastic start in one way. It was so wild that Gavin ruptured the tendon in his Achilles first night course. And also then accused me of doing it. He said I kicked him in his Achilles and ruptured it. So then I went to bed worrying, I've just spent 7 months sorting this tour out. And I've wrecked it night one by accidentally kicking Gavin. And then in the morning, I spoke to Bob. Bob was like, oh, no, he doesn't think you did it now. And I was like, what? I haven't slept. And now there's footage of the moment this happened. And Gavin sent it to the band group and said, Sean, you're in the clear. I was like, yeah, good. I didn't fucking do it. When the Ritz sold out, we could not believe it. could not. We really, really wanted to play that venue. And then, yeah, that had sold out. And our promoter, Johnny at SJM Concert, said, let's move it to Academy One. And we were like, you are berserk. Let's not do that. He was like, we got 7 months to sell it. So in the end, I think it was like 2,000 people there, maybe just under that. I haven't had the ticket sales through. I just apologize my voice this week because it is absolutely blown out from giving everything I could at the shows to the point where the morning of London, I sounded like this and I was like, I don't think. Well, I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to try the best to my show, but I was just gutted for a few hours because I was absolutely concerned about it not being right for the crowd.
Mm.
And I didn't want to give them half a show. But I managed to work it out. And Ozzy went on stage and did a great show.
You have been streaming for like a week. So,
literally screaming and singing and being filled with love. And yeah, Manchester was absolutely wild. The best start we could have had. It was so good that Bob at one point went onto his microphone to address the crowd and said, hello, I'm Bob. If you know me, you won't expect this or something. This is absolutely brilliant.
Hey.
You nearly made me cry.
Oh, and then the crowd reacted, Bob, 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 Bob.
Yeah, got his chant going.
Bob so, section. The Bob section has come in since you've been gone.
The Bob section. Please, if you're coming to Slam Dunk, right, get an A4 piece of paper, right, and print. I don't know if you've still got printers in 2024. I don't know what happens. I haven't printed anything out personally for about 10 years. Anyway, please print a sign that says Bob section. Oh, that would be so good. And just hold it up and let's get a Bob. I'd love to see him just smile. During, we're planning now. We're going to hell, so bring the sunblock because we're doing the best in town in full. During the beginning of that, he starts that riff. If we can get a couple of people holding up A4 signs saying the Bob section all stood together, that would fucking make my slam dunk. Anyway, back to it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Manchester was absolutely class.
First thing I noticed about that was, well, what I found really interesting was originally you were going to mix up the set lists completely. You did it for the first few shows, but then realized one was better than the other, so you stuck with it. But you were opening most of these with This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things, which when I saw in the dressing room, I was a bit confused because I was like, that's not your typical star song. But whoever came up with that was a great idea because the crowds were just singing from the go. And that first night in Manchester, them all singing, This Was Never Going to Be Simple. You all just kind of looked at each other just in disbelief that that big was just screaming at
you. It was
nuts.
Yeah. That song, throughout the tour, got such a fucking insane reaction on that middle bit every night. It got to the point where the first couple of nights I went to do it and I couldn't hear myself because of the crowd, so I just give up. And then I was just amazed by the crowd to the point where I guess I was like, oh, I know Manchester was fucking insane. Glasgow was real good. Birmingham was real good, you know. So like when we got to like Cardiff, I was like, oh, well, they're going to do this bit, you know. And it blew me away every night. Like I was expecting it and it still fucking hit me like a wave of love. It was nuts. Absolutely nuts. Goosebumps every night.
There's a few lyrics in particular from just these songs. I feel so, it's so funny how they come full circle because, this was never going to be simple. Okay, first tour back in 9 years, Gavin absolutely gets injured.
Gets injured, yeah.
In the dressing room after, you were all kind of such a mixed emotion because you were so full of adrenaline and so happy from coming off the stage from the show.
We were high, yeah.
But then it was almost like, is this the end already?
Very much so.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com.
Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Very much so. For a little bit, I was just like, knowing us now, this is one and done.
Mm.
But what a fucking one. That's what we were, what we were thinking.
Yeah.
Was like, yes, fucking shit that we're going to have to cancel this. Maybe not even get to reschedule it.
Mm.
But the fucking love from that show was so powerful that, yeah, you know, Bob usually would have been fucking punching walls. Kicking fuck out things himself mainly, but yeah, it was just fucking nuts. And yeah, Gavin went to the doctors. We'd straight off the show, so we did it in our song Save Ourselves, which was one before the end. Uppercut, Shut the Fuck Uppercut, he did it in Shut the Fuck Uppercut just before Save Ourselves. And he hobbled off stage, literally had to be carried up the steps behind the stage, because behind the stage of Manchester Academy, it's like twirly steps back up on themselves, and then you go across behind this thing. I'm just giving behind the scenes information. And Gavin had to be carried across here. Took him into the production office, got a medic down. The medic had a look at it, told him he's got to go to hospital to have it scanned or whatever to see, because he thinks he's torn his Achilles. So, Gavin and Brad go. Brad's our tour manager, Brad Sullivan. Shout out to Brad and all our crew. I'll go through you all later. Brad and Gavin went to a hospital in Manchester and were waiting like 9 hours,
Gavin posted the photo of Brad sleeping. Just sleeping on in the corridor, trying to get it done. Like,
They saw Gavin. They told him he might need surgery. He said, put a fucking boot on it.
Yeah. Fucking go on, Gav.
And then he meshed us all, and he was like, he was going to do it. So what happened? Yeah, while they were in hospital in Manchester, our bus had to leave to go to Glasgow.
Yes, yeah.
So, because the driver's hours and stuff, people are going, you crew, I can't. No.
You left them behind.
The bus had to go.
Yeah.
We all could have stayed behind, but we all would have been fucking stuck in Manchester.
Yeah, because of the driving times and all that, they have to have so many hours break, because that's the law and all that, yeah.
So our bus left, probably. I DJ'd in Manchester, actually, after the at an after show party at the Breadshed for Deadbolt, and that was awesome. Thank you very much to everybody who came out to that. That was very, very fun. And then, so I got back about 2:30, so the bus left about 3:30, I guess.
Yeah.
And we hadn't heard of Gavin and Brad for a while, so we knew they were just waiting. And then, we left, and then I remember waking up in Glasgow, outside the venue, waiting to hear off Gavin and Brad, because we still hadn't, they weren't with us at the time. And so they came later, they came up on the train eventually. So basically, they told Gavin on the day off on Wednesday he had to go to Prince Charles Hospital, or
which Johnny Phillips did make a brilliant joke saying, you don't fucking know Prince Charles.
Oh yeah, he's like, oh, I gotta go Prince Charles. And then Johnny said, yeah. So yeah, we turned up in Glasgow. Gavin turned up with his new robot leg, looking like the first incarnation of the Iron Man suit.
Stronger.
Sat down, and yeah, we just got got ready for the show, tried to work out. The doctors in Manchester told Gavin that he shouldn't stand on the leg or the boot. So for Glasgow, we had to find him a chair. So we found him an office chair with wheels, so he could roll about. Around.
Yeah.
So he did do a little circle pit on his own on the chair during I'm a Riot. But yeah, it was a good show, and I'm very, very thankful for everyone who came out. But it was just strange to see Gavin on a chair.
Yeah, I had a chat with him after it, and I was like, how was that for you, Gav? And he said it was so weird, and after doing that, he'll never understand how some vocalists can just stand there and not do anything and not move about. But what I did like, and I tried to explain this to him, was when he was sat on the chair, he wasn't just like microphone or mic stand in front of him just trying to sing it like a Westlife or something. He kind of positioned...
We did beg him to do that, man. We were going like... Because in Said and Done, there's like a bit where the key change goes down and then comes back up. And we were like, you've got to stand and have it. Like, take your denim jacket off, have a white t-shirt on, stand there and do that bit.
But because he positioned it a certain way, it just seemed like, you know, when vocalists have their foot on the monitor, so they're slightly smaller, but it just seemed like he was putting in a performance even though in the chair.
Yeah.
And then I had the shock of my life in Cardiff when he came on the stage and standing up.
Well, so on the day off, Gavin went to Prince Charles Hospital. Hospital. I'm going to say hospital because I'm not 100%
local
sure which one.
Medical facility.
Yeah. And they told him, actually, you've ruptured your Achilles, because they thought it had been torn previously. And they told him it's better to stand on it.
Oh.
So two conflicting pieces of advice. Gavin was chuffed with that because he could stand up and rock out again, which is a lot better than sitting down and rocking out, which is very, very difficult.
Yeah. Well, fair play to him. He put in a good shift. And where a lot of people could have just been like, well, that's it. I think it meant a lot to everyone. I think it kind of made the shows a little bit more special again, that even though you weren't at 100% like fitness levels, that you can never take these things for granted.
Yeah. I just like to clarify that when he says 100% fitness levels, he means Gavin's ruptured Achilles, not that we're all too fat.
No,
and
I
slow.
Was trying to, what's the
I think we performed as well as we've ever done. I think we've had friends and family, people we trust, tell us this is literally some of the best shows they've ever seen us play, which is crazy, really, because I've seen some bands come back and some of them are, you know, as good, but they're not, you know, better than they were. We were just doing us, so.
Yeah, it was enjoyment levels as well. Being in the crowd, people were constantly coming up to me and saying, how happy you were, how happy the look on your face was, but also just all the rest of the guys. And, you know, we've talked to many of them on the podcast before, and it's been mentioned about, like, you know, there was a point where a few of them didn't want to maybe do this again because they've already mourned the death and it would have been a bit harder for them. But I think they were the ones that seemed to even have the biggest smiles while doing it and seeing those
crowd
reactions and sing along.
Because they weren't expecting it, I guess.
Yeah.
Birmingham. We got to Birmingham. And what happened with Birmingham, when we first got the route in for this tour, or we were first offered, what happens is the promoter comes to you and shows you these dates, gives you the venues, and then you say basically yes or no if you want to do that. And the Birmingham one we had potentially was for the Birmingham Institute 2, which is 600 capacity. And it sounds egotistical, but we thought, historically, we do quite well in Birmingham. You know, we do 1,000 plus, I guess. So we went back to the promoter and said, any chance we could try for somewhere else in Birmingham that's bigger than the Institute 2? And then he came back going, yeah, this is it. And then put us in the Academy, which is massive. It's 3,000 capacity. Despite being such a massive room, we did surprisingly well. And when you look at the photos, I don't know how apart from under the balcony, like right to the back. I don't know how you could fit many more people in. It looked absolutely fucking nuts in Birmingham, and the crowd was brilliant. And, oh, yeah, in Birmingham was the first time we've ever had lasers.
Yeah.
So we lost our laser virginity because our lighting guy, Joe Allen, who is an absolute legend, he's 21, right?
Wow.
He wasn't born when the blackout was started.
I bet that made you all feel great inside.
Yeah. We were all very bitter towards him for a couple of days. But no, he's absolutely wonderful. I messaged him. I spoke to him in the face. I forgot how life works. I messaged him face to face. I said, oh, is there any chance we could look into something big for London? He said, like, well, I was like, oh, I don't know, lasers or, I don't know, you come up with something, you're the lighting genius. Mm. And he messaged a guy the day off in Cardiff, got back to us, he's like, yeah, I can bring him to the Cardiff show tomorrow. So he brought him to the Cardiff show. We had him after we'd already set up and stuff. And then Birmingham was, I turned up in Birmingham and there they were set up and beaming across. And it looked unbelievable. I loved it. He looked absolutely fantastic, but yeah, I was chuffed with them. But yeah, Boomer was absolutely class. Thank you very much to everyone who came. And then London, the big London.
Big London, big the final one with, and then we had to rush over to the States afterwards. But like doing these shows, I mean, obviously, like, you know, you've wanted this for so long. Was there anything you'd noticed? Maybe even little nuances, maybe between certain songs or between the crowds, between the rest of the guys, of like how it was different this time around, or how maybe things you took for granted beforehand felt like a big deal on this one?
Now, more than ever, it seems more community-based.
Mm.
So where, like, we've got the Patreons and stuff, and a lot of them were originally into the blackout back in the day or whatever. But to see people who have joined that who don't like the blackout or never liked the blackout or didn't even check out the blackout come in and be in there was mind-blowing. To see so many people from the past again was just nuts. And yeah, it just felt like more, like we were all there, just like a big party. Trying to get around there. Like a big party, just there to celebrate what was going on. Like, it didn't feel like it was us and them. It felt like us.
Yeah.
You can't see me doing the big arms, but
Yeah, I had the biggest kind of school reunion kind of vibe throughout it, right? And one you actually want to go to. Yeah. And
we were the disco at the school reunion. Yeah, school reunion at the disco. It was only, it's a band name.
It's only terrible the people you wanted to see from the school days came as well, not anyone else.
No, I don't know. In Cardiff, I came backstage and I was like, oh, let's go to the dressing room now. And it was just all the boys from the year above me in school. And I was like, fucking hell, boys. What's going on here?
But I'll give you my point of view from the tour. So like I was basically traveling away from the guys and then we'd go to the venues, come and hang out with them, whatever. Me and Sean would do some podcast stuff if we could. And then I would go and meet with the patrons because I booked places, independent bars and venues for us to go before all the shows, to get together, to have a laugh, and a good time. I'd get back to the venue. And in between sets, be trying to give out flyers that I had printed to promote the podcast for anyone who wasn't aware. If you listened to this because I gave you a flyer, please let me know.
Oh, please let him know. We'd love to know what the fucking reach was.
Well, there was three different reactions I had throughout, right, while doing the flyers. One of them would be like absolute disgust that I was trying to give them anything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, thank you. Or like, in London, we're really...
Couldn't be free money then.
To the point at the London one, people were so rude. When they would say no, I would then take a step and then give them the flyer and turn it where your face was. I'd be like, but it's Sean, man. I know you like him. You've just watched him there. So there was that reaction. There was people taking them confused and like looking at me. So I was like, maybe they've seen the podcast being promoted or whatever. And then there's other people taking the flyers going, oh, really like the podcast. I was like, oh, cheers, but you don't need the flyer if you know yeah. if you know it. I paid money for these. I don't have that many.
That's just a nice memento, isn't it? I yeah. was like,
oh, yeah, they could. Yeah, I'm happy for them to take them. But yeah, it was just like, so there's a lot of a mixture of that. But I was bumping into a lot of friends that I hadn't seen in years that I was going to these shows with back in the day. And I think that's been a real big theme over the last 6 months or so, many of my favorite bands from way back when coming back, you know, yourselves included, you know, Kids in Glass Houses, Funeral for a Friend, the fact that Busted and McFly are touring all over the place. It's a really nice time for that kind of nostalgic feel. But it's so like full circle moments, right? I met up with one of my friends and she'd brought her dad to the gig because her dad used to bring her to see you
Mad.
When she was like not old enough to go to gigs by herself. But I was like, that's so wholesome that you've done that because I went to see the Blackout with my parents.
Yeah.
You could just be like, well, I'm old enough for my own. I was going to see my going with my friends, but you've taken your parent with you. That was very wholesome.
Is it Keely in our Patreon? She took like her family. And I saw photos of it and I was just like, this is fucking bonkers. Mm. And her dad said some absolutely wonderful things about us as well, I believe. Which I hope to be true. If I find out they're not true, Keely, I'm coming for you.
Well, I'm going to dive into some mad stories and especially people within our Patreon. So there's, you hear her at the end of the episode every single week, Kylie Wheeler.
Yeah.
She flew over from Australia.
Australia's finest.
To do these shows because she never thought she'd get to see you guys again. So she had to be here. She came to the One Murtha last summer and download as well. And she brought a friend with her from Australia that had never even heard of you guys.
Yeah.
Didn't know any songs.
God,
but
no.
When, oh, fuck it, I'm up for the... Right, I'm up for the laugh.
Wow.
That's a hell of a commute.
Mad fucker.
And can I just point out, someone's done that after months of you reading comments of people going, oh, I can't believe you're not coming to Nottingham.
Oh, I can't believe you're not going to Leeds. Yep. I saw people on this tour going, I'm selling two tickets. I can't go. And I'm like, why? Oh, it's a different night done or something like that. And then... just going, I'll see you on the next tour. I was like, cool, man. I don't know if there's going to, like, what? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So fair play for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Then I think two dates in, they started talking to someone on a train and it became clear that they were going to the same places and the same gig and recruited them to join the Patreon.
It's working.
And then they came to all of the meetups and embraced that, which I thought was insane.
Nuts.
There was even an engagement at one of the shows as well.
Yes, there was, yes. Two lads that came and did the old tour, Ollie and Josh. Yeah, they got engaged at Cardiff during Top of the World. Ollie messaged me a couple of days before to say they were going to propose. I said, would you like the microphone? We make a whole thing about it if you want. And they said no. They shit themselves because they're too shy. And then, so yeah, during Top of the World, Holly got down on one knee and proposed to Josh, and Josh said yes. And it was a lovely, beautiful moment that combined with the happiness of everything that was going on, made my eyes real sweaty.
But I fair play to them as well because they've been waiting outside.
Not fair play to them, right? I'm going to say to you what I said to them every day.
Okay, go on.
I appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
But go somewhere fucking warm.
That is also true. Glasgow is very cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mental bastard. Stop it.
But like, I
love it. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Yeah. I really, really appreciate it. But see, just You've got sharp elbows. You can work your way to the front if you want.
They did make satin bracelets for a lot of people.
Right now.
So have I. I even got stopped by someone else at the London show, I believe, who gave me a completely different satin bracelet.
Bloody hell.
So this is incredible. I'm blown away by the fact that anyone's taken the time to do that. Never mind give them as gifts to us and other listeners.
But also, who's making his knockoff satin merch?
Yeah. Well, there was knockoff. We need to talk about this. There was knockoff blackout merch. Yep. Outside of all the shows,
Jay was tamping at
I
us.
Can fucking imagine Jay was tamping. But yeah. Like, I mean, in a way, you've made it, boys. But in another way, fuck right off.
Well, considering, like, at the O2 venues, you've got to give ridiculous amounts of money to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was like 20%, maybe 25% of merch sold. You've got to give to them for some reason, right?
Hmm.
Jay sold more on his own in Cardiff than the six people doing it in Birmingham. And it was more, there was more people in Birmingham. But yeah, like just couldn't get it out quick enough. And then chucked them out. Like, so yeah, we're giving 20-25% away to these O2s. While there's people outside then, well, surely they should be moving on, right? And if you're taking a couple of grand off a band.
Yeah, yeah.
Work from, like. Because how much, six people, right? Say you're giving them 100 quid a day, right? Say 150 quid a day, that's fucking £900, right? You're taking a couple of grand, right? So you're just milking it. You're not selling a phone, are you? Or fuck, you're a fucking phone company.
What do you think? Yeah, I know it's a different thing, but they're hiring security for the venue. Yeah, so you think then just one or two of the security. Yeah,
move them away.
Yeah.
But that didn't seem to be the case. No. Just, carry on, boys. Yeah, there was knockoff merch here. If you bought them, not mad. I'm not mad. Carry on. It did literally take a Instagram. Well, I've seen two of them were. One of them was the like tour poster that we've been promoting for months and months and months, right?
Yeah.
That annoying one that everyone's fucking sick of seeing, right? They literally took that square, printed on a t-shirt, and I was like, that's straight from Instagram. And then they took the one Rianne Rowlands did for our Scala show. Was it the Scala show?
Oh, the cartoon.
The cartoon
That
was just taken off Instagram as well and just plonked on there. I was like, unbelievable.
Fucking mad.
But yeah, they were selling quite cheap. So.
another story that is, it just shows the connection. And I think sometimes I'm not like a big fate guy, but like sometimes I think, oh my God, things have to happen for a certain reason. And at that London show, there was a bunch of the patrons posting photos of like seeing each other from the downstairs in the pit to some of them like in the balcony because you had to get certain tickets. So the floor one sold out straight away and then they have to get the balcony one. So they're kind of finding each other. And two of the Patreon ended up swapping their tickets to be in, so they could be in the separate places. The one was like, oh, you know, I'm happy to go and hang out with everyone and just sit down and enjoying it from a nice view. You know, you've traveled all this way. You go and go in the crowd. Kylie Wheeler, again, went into the crowd. And she was telling me after the show that she did that and she bumped into a friend that she hadn't seen in, I think it was like 10 plus years, who was actually not medically well and they're expecting them to not be around that much longer. But they never thought they'd get to
see him
again.
Bonkers.
Never mind bump into him at a blackout show.
Yeah.
Like things like that. Like you don't think about these things when you go to gigs, when you put gigs on and everything else in between. But like, it's just mad to think it can go from, oh, this is a nice family moment. Oh, this is a nice best friend day out or whatever, to reuniting people, to maybe the last time people will see each other.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, well, it's a running theme. Like, we had so many people who were meeting up from the gig buddies from like 9-10 years ago.
Mm.
Plus, and they haven't seen each other in that time, which is mad. That's crazy to me. But with lives and distances, people don't get to see each other unless there's a reason. And as Uba Stank once sang, the reason is me. So, I mean, the blackhead. But yeah, it's just fucking absolutely bonkers. And this is one of the things, because I'm in charge of the social media for the blackout, I see everything. Yeah, so I see all the love, I see all the posts, I see all these beautiful things that people are posting, saying how much it means to them, or just being there, or just being out meant to them. And I just wish the boys in the band could see it.
Hmm.
I don't want to have the stress of having to go through every bloody message. Like, I've replied to every message or whatever. I just wish they could see how much it meant to other people. Like, not just, my favourite band, but like I said, the community aspect of it. The wholeness of it all. Just of everyone being there for whatever reason. Recently found a band, listened to the band years ago but never saw us, came to every fucking gig, unwell, fucking, yeah, just circumstances changed. It was mad to see everybody, new and old, but like especially with the old ones, people from, back 9 years ago plus, just to see where they are in life now and what's going on. And it's just fucking mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah. That's one thing I constantly say to people just in general is go and see your favorite bands while you can. If you're into live music, if you like gigs, that's the one thing I always tell people, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen to the band. You never know what's going to happen in your own personal lives. And like just the experiences that come with going to these things. Like this week has been it's been a lot of traveling, and I was very tired before coming to Miami and kind of caught up with me. But like the experience of this week has meant so much to me, just being able to just connect with people. And yeah, like I've seen people that I haven't hung out with in years. I've seen people that I've only ever speak to online. I've met people that I think I'm going to be friends with for a long time through doing this. I've had some really lovely conversations with people who like the podcast, with people who don't know about the podcast, and just about everything. I think, like, I know two of my friends, they literally took time off work so they could do the last three shows and go in the car together. The car broke down at one of the gigs and all this. And then they didn't get a hotel for the one, and they stayed in the car. They had that pre-gig nap in the, like, but that's memories you're not getting anywhere else. And like, yeah, just away from whatever the two of us do. Yeah. Like, yeah, just music in general, just go for it. Like, yeah.
I have to mention, because we've just kind of passed over the London show.
Hmm.
The London show was a culmination of everything we've just spoke about.
Yeah.
It was like what the... I saw somebody comment on the Patreon, and I'm sorry for forgetting who it was now, but I'm in a completely different time zone, so, and my head's screwed.
Literally.
But, they said it seemed like the Patreon and everything was leading up to the London meetup and the show and everything that happened there, because, we had so many people from the Patreon who had never met as well, and had been friends for basically 4 years online.
Mm.
And then just to see them, I was just saying, from on stage, just looking into the crowd, and you could see just pockets of people. And yeah, it was beautiful. I saw Paul Hirschfield crowd surf. I saw Andrew Keach, topless crowd surf too many times. Not that he was crowd surfing too many times. He was just topless. I saw him topless many times.
All right, okay, yeah.
And he was crowd surfing. it was just beautiful. Tony Michael, like, it's just everyone from the fucking...
Well, because I organised these meetups right beforehand.
Fairly to you. Can I just say, yes, well done to you. They look fucking awesome. I'm sorry I couldn't be there. Yeah, I was either trying to save my voice or I was worrying that I'd ruin the tour by kicking my friend.
Yeah, trying to find a robotic leg to.
But then,
to
yeah, so with. Yeah, so like the Manchester one is basically the first day of tour, so got to be there to make sure everything's fucking working.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so sorry I didn't make them, but fucking what a bit. Like I was seeing the pictures and the feedback and. Yeah. Fucking fair play to you for organising it because fucking you smashed it.
Well, we always go on about how embracing our community is, so I wanted to give them an actual official thing to do that with. And yeah,
nice,
the last three shows in particular, so many people turned up that we literally took over the venues, right? Yeah. For the Cardiff one, so I was trying to get photos from and we had to go on the stage in Fuel to get a photo together. In London, we had to take up the whole like one side of this pub to fit everyone into the photo.
Mad.
Yeah, and again, it's just so many stories about like, oh, you know, we've never met before and then like you've been talking for 4 years and now like this is the first time we get to hang out and people coming from different parts of the country. There's Jordan Harris wasn't supposed to be going to any gigs because he's expecting surgery. And as I was leaving the meetup, he was going in there to surprise him all. And I was like, what the hell's going on? Like, it's all mad just to see these things with people who would, there's even people in the Patreon who are coming to the meetups who openly say that they are quite shy and they just want support. So they don't get involved too much. So they're kind of like in the background, like a lurker kind of thing, watching from afar. And even they were coming in and getting involved and introducing themselves to people. So yeah, like, I don't know, man. Like this last week has just been absolutely crazy.
Nuts.
And I'm just, yeah, I'm thankful for you guys for letting me come and be in the way. I did buy you all Krispy Kremes to the London show as well. And I think you all enjoyed it. But yep. Bob wouldn't have that as bribery.
No. Yeah. If we were one of them band who did paid meet and greet, you'd probably owe us thousands of pounds.
Oh, hey, but nice expensive donuts, not.
Yeah. No, they were lovely. Thank you very much. But yeah, it was just fucking wild. It was a wild week. And then, yeah, to finish London, came off stage absolutely buzzing. Didn't get to go straight out, meet people who were hanging about because I had to sort everything out for packing, for leaving, for where we are right now.
Mm.
Which was formerly Miami, and now we're somewhere between Miami and the Bahamas.
Bermuda Triangle somewhere.
Yeah, it's big fucking UFO under that water somewhere.
Can we just point out as well that...
oil tanker.
We're hoping... If you hear this, obviously, we found signal and it's come out.
That's true. Yeah. That's true, mate.
But,
yeah.
But we've realised this earlier and kind of shit ourselves that... We're in the Bermuda Triangle on a day that only happens once every 4 years, February the 29th.
Some freak shit's going to happen, isn't it?
So if we ever go missing and you find this recording...
Wait here. This doesn't come out before February 29th, does it?
No. This is after, isn't it? March 1st.
Oh, we survived then?
Well, hopefully.
Oh, wait. When are you going to upload it?
March 1st.
No. That's when it comes out. When are you uploading
this? Whenever we get... Oh, that's true.
So if you upload it today...
And we don't get... Yeah.
We might be disappeared by the time this comes out. Can I just say I'm very grateful for everyone who came to see us over the last week. I love my family and... Yeah. What a great time and... Oh, I'm terrified now. Yeah. February 29th. We're in the middle of the ocean. Ah. Oh.
Before we wrap this up as well, I mean, people were asking me, they've probably asked you a million times, where there'll be another tour. Obviously, you've got these two dates of Slam Dunk in May, Hatfield and Leeds, you'll be playing.
I think they're going to be very, very special.
Yeah, 15th anniversary of The Best in Town in full, start to finish.
Yeah, I think if that tour was anything to go by, it's going to be, if you can get, you know, all those people from around the UK... Whenever I mentioned we're playing Slam Dunk, there was always a big roar.
Yeah.
So, if all those people, you know, if tour was anything to go by and, you know, some of those people can join with others, that's horrible, meet up with others at the Slam Dunks, these could be fucking insane. And we're playing The Best in Town in full, so we open with uppercut, let's go fucking daft.
Do you think for the rest of the boys, I know you haven't had these conversations, but it's just dissecting this past week and then dissecting Slam Dunk.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I just want... I haven't mentioned touring to the boys yet.
Yeah.
They're listening to it right now, actually. Just because I wanted everyone just to have this week. See how it goes for everyone. And then let everyone decompress after this and see what they think about it. But this year is the 15th anniversary of the Best in Town. Mm-hmm. And I know we're doing that exclusively at Slam Dunk for festivals. But it would be a shame not to do our own shows to celebrate there, maybe later in the year. Now, I'm not saying that's happening because I genuinely haven't spoken to the other boys. This is me manifesting, which definitely will. Despite everything I said on stage in Cardiff, right? Because when we started this, you said, I hope we get to record an episode of this podcast on the Emo's Not Dead cruise from Miami to Bahamas. And that was before Emo's Not Dead was even made. So
yeah,
the fact that you...
Forward thinking, me, isn't it?
Yeah, always you manifest.
Always so, thinking ahead of me.
But it would be a shame, even if it's just under play shows and we just do... couple of gigs in 500 capacity venues, up close, personal, fucking ragers, kind of like the ones we did in Merthyr. Merthyr ones were smaller,
yeah.
But if we can get, you know, that vibe, which I'm sure we can, after seeing what we've just seen in basically theatres, right, we're doing like fucking 1,500 to fucking 2,300 ticket places. Put fucking 500 of those nutters in a room together. Mm. Gonna go mental and be brilliant. So I think it would be a shame not to do a couple more shows, 3 to 5 or something like that. But I've obviously got to speak to the boys. Yeah, I just want them to have this time now to reflect on it all. You know, we had friends and family at Cardiff and Birmingham and London and stuff like that, and they all loved it as well. So, yeah, hopefully we do get to do more. But as I said, we got Slam Dunk and nothing planned. Honest now, this is one of these bands I can't tell you.
Yeah,
bullshit.
No. You guys generally don't know. You generally have not had conversations.
Yeah. So I will be having these conversations in the next couple of weeks, maybe.
Fingers crossed. Or maybe,
Where do we know? It'll be March.
Yeah.
Thing is in May, isn't it? Slam Dunk's in May. So yeah, maybe I think the end of March, April time, we'll probably get some rehearsals in. We'll have a chat then and then...
see what's what.
Yeah. And then, if we do get some in, I'll pull the curtain back right now. We'd probably announce on stage a Slam Dunk. But who knows?
Hmm. Fingers crossed, because I know, well, I'd love to see it again. I know.
I'd love to do it again.
Fucking.
I'd love to see it again. Even if they kick me out, I'd love to watch it. As long as they get someone to replace me who does the exact moves and things that I do.
Right, okay.
Because I want to see it.
Yeah, I did
I'm going to, a great Kanye West quote is,
where's this going?
The problem. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The problem. The problem is with being Kanye West is I never get to see myself perform live. Being Sean Smith from The Blackout is I don't get to see Sean Smith from The Blackout ever play live unless it's back on video, and then that's not live.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to do more. It's been a fucking absolute brilliant week. My voice is absolutely shagged. And now I've got to go and speak to
American emo bands. yeah, no, again, thank you so much.
Oh, shout out to the sticker place.
Yes, I was going to say thank you so much.
Oh, he was on it, man. Of course he was on it.
I was going to say thank you to you guys saw me out with passes to come to all and do it again. I really, really had a great time. Thank you to anyone who took time out of their day to just have a chat and just take flyers and take some of these stickers. Shout out to Pins and Knuckles who made those lovely shaped stickers. They also did our recent Thrasher Fire Sapling merch, if you picked up one of those shirts as well. If you got one of the stickers and you've put it somewhere, let us know. Show us, because I know people instantly put it on their phone cases and on laptops and on backpacks and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm just generally intrigued to see what you've done with it, or if you've kept it as a little post-tour memento. Yeah, could be good to see at Sapling Pod on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter. Before we go into our Patreon, massive shout out to all of your crew as well. Lovely people.
Yeah. Shout out to our crew. Shout out. We've gone very American. Massive thank you to our crew. Bradley Sullivan tour managed us. He hasn't done it for years. He hadn't fucking missed a beat. He fucking did it. He did everything he possibly could to make it all as comfortable as possible for everyone. Pablo McCart, our sound guy, he's an absolute fucking legend. We love him. Joe Allen, the lighting guy, he wasn't born when we started. Absolutely brilliant fella. Who else we have? Luke Lancaster, the mighty Luke Lancaster was out. Guitar taking for us. Sam Phillips was out with us. He'd just come back doing the Kooks, I believe. From the Kooks to the Blackout.
Wow.
And then we had Matt Higgs out doing the photos and videos. If you go and check him out on the Blackout social media, he absolutely fucking smashed it. What a legend. I couldn't believe
the turnaround time he did with all those.
He would get up in the morning, get out, get his stuff set up, and then film, take photos. And then he'd be up until like 4 a.m. editing videos.
Outstanding.
And then to get him to me by the morning post, and he was fucking bonkers. The videos are amazing. Please go check them out. It was one of the best things I pushed for on this tour was having a videographer and a photographer out, because some of the boys weren't too fussed. But then I was like, it's not about content what we could show to the public. It's about having the memories for us, because we don't have any high quality, high def memories. We've got loads of DV tapes that I know Gavin will not get converted. And when he does get them converted, they're going to be terrible quality.
How much technology has changed since last time you toured?
Fucking hell. Matt Diggs smashed it. Oh, Jake Tilly on monitors. Big Jake. How dare I forget? I look over it and see his beautiful head every night. Thank you very much to our crew. Brilliant legend.
And your brother, Jay.
My brother, Jay, as well. Jesus Christ, yeah.
Some people might know him as the guy who rang on stage to do Hyro's bit in Higher and Higher and Higher.
Yes. He's currently suffering with a bad back. The one in Birmingham, I decided to jump on his back when he took the mic off me. So I made it worse. So apologies to Jay. But yes, thank you very much, bud. You absolutely fucking smashed it. And I love you very much.
And thank you so much to our beloved Patreon who help make this podcast happen each and every single week.
We love you.
Again, I love how everyone embraced each other. Yeah. And we've had a lot of people sign up recently because of all this as well, which is absolutely insane. It is literally the best time to come and join the party. patreon.com/sapnin. If you would like to do that, if you had the description of this episode and all episodes, there's loads of names there that we thank. Usually we read out the top tiers, give them a big shout out, but we can't get the names up because we
haven't got any Wi-Fi.
We're in the middle of the water. So I'm just going to copy and paste it.
We're going to have to send this by a fucking pigeon to somebody with a Wi-Fi connection.
So cutting and pasting them in here. Very special thank you to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Luaway, Janelle Kasten, Paul Hirschfield, Scarlett Charlton, Dilly Grimwood, Tony Michael, Nathan Crawshaw, Mitch Perry, Liam Connolly, Molly Malloy and James Bowerbank, Amy Louise, Kat Besant, Alexandra Pembuchton, Jonathan Gutierrez, Kieran Lewis, Jenny Robinson, Amy Dawson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Caroline Robinson, Stephen Aston, Kate Puttock, Jenny Munster, Lewis Cook, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, Danny Eaton, Martina McManus, M. Evans Roberts, Evan, Sean Foynes, Ollie Amesbury, Emily Perry, Adam, King of the Goths, Parslow, Colleen Lakeen, Josh. A ghost walks into a bar. The bartender says, "Sorry, we don't serve spirits." Crisp, Vicky, Fraser Cummins, Laura Russell, hey, new member. Dan Peregrine, hey, new member. Pip, hey, new member. Carl Bounty Chocolate Van, David Smith. And last by no means least, Connor Lewins and family. Thank you to all those amazing people. We love you very, very much. Whee!
Whoa, that sounded like you actually said them right here, right now.
Well, you know, me editing genius. No, I don't know.
Ooh,
This is. I'm glad we did this. I'm glad we just sat down and had an hour conversation in our suite.
Fucking pit of ballers. Can't believe you manifested this. You said blue door as well.
It's just the fact that I've been talking to you and there's a lovely view of the ocean behind you.
Every now and again, I've been turning around going, fucking hell. It's a big blue watery road.
We're in Merthyr no more, boy.
Oh my God. I don't know, man. It could be the top.
Fucking hell.
I tell you what, though. Right. I can see all of my periphery, right? I can see the horizon, right? It's flat, like.
Yeah.
It's fucking Earth's flat, isn't it?
Let's not get into all this fucking.
Right,
experience.
Look at that ship. He's nearly on the horizon, and he's not curved.
Anyway, we'll be back every single Friday.
Gutted.
Fingers crossed if we don't get abducted. With more conversations and special guests. And next week is a behind the scenes look. A certain time of the summer that we love very, very much. That just gave it away, basically.
Yeah.
But come back, hit subscribe, and don't die and have a laugh until then. Nice one.
Also, if you're not listening to this when we expect it to come out and you're listening to it a week later, sorry, we didn't have any Wi-Fi, did we? So we couldn't get it up. Apologies. Because, he said we're going to be back each and every week. We never thought we'd be in the middle of the Atlantic going to no Wi-Fi.
No, that's true. That's true. Oh.
Cheers.
Sapnin!
I gotta go and find something to sort my voice out before we talk to these Americans.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.